بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we will be just note some notes for tomorrow. Tomorrow we will be having the ختم القرآن. We will be finishing the entire Quran تراويح الحمد لله إن شاء الله. And since we left a lesser portion of the Quran, the dua will probably begin somewhere around 11:15 as opposed to 11:30. Other than that, today will be our final khatira. We will not have any khatira from tomorrow. Today will be the last and final khatira. Even though we haven't finished the Quran today, but we will have only a khatira today. And tomorrow will just be left for the dua. We will have no khatira after Salatul Witr tomorrow. So the dua again tomorrow will be earlier, possibly around 11:15, because we have less of the Quran left. We only have about a little less than three quarters of the 30 juz left. But for today's khatira, inshallah, since we will not be having any khatira tomorrow, we'll discuss all the way till the end of Suratul Nas. And of course, we won't be able to go through too much, but inshallah, we'll go through as much as we can. So today we started off from Surah Haqqah, and we ended off at Surah Inshiqaq, which is right before Surah Al-Buruj. So the first surah is Surah Haqqah. Surah Haqqah literally means something that is suddenly about to happen, which is obviously referring to the Day of Judgment. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Day of Judgment, about our Book of Deeds, and some of the nations of the past. There are a few verses I want to discuss in some of these surahs, but I will go through all of the surahs first generally, then we'll go through those specific verses I want to discuss. The next surah, Surah Ma'arij. Ma'arij literally means stairways or pathways, because this talks about the pathways the angels use to go back and forth from the earth all the way to the heavens. And it says in the Quran that it takes them a single day to go all the way from here all the way to the heavens. This surah was revealed when Al-Mushrik by the name of Nadhr bin Harith, he told Rasulullah ﷺ that if what you're saying is true, then tell your Allah to bring a punishment upon us right now. So he demanded a punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. There is someone who is asked about a punishment, and when it comes, the disbelievers will not be able to move it away. It will be stuck with them. They can't do anything about it. And this Nadhr bin Harith, he was killed in the Battle of Badr. Then throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks again, once again, about the Day of Judgment and many different aspects related to that. The next is Surah Nuh, and this whole surah discusses the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and specifically his plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of it has to do with his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of his life, when he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've done the best that I could. I called them openly, secretly, privately, publicly, at their houses, everywhere. I tried everything. I told them whatever I could. I tried every single time. I told them in so many different ways, but they kept turning away, turning away, turning away. Then Nuh alayhi salam at the end makes a dua against those people. Rabbi la tadharadhim yal kafirin dayyara. He says, Ya Allah, do not leave a single disbeliever on the face of this earth. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the flood. Of course, Nuh alayhi salam warned his people beforehand as well, for over and over and over and over again. The next is Surah Jinn. Surah Jinn was revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning from Ta'if. He prayed tahajjud in an area called Nakhla, and while he was there, some jinns were there and they heard the Quran. So the entire surah, or most of the surah, at least the first half, talks about the response of the jinns. What the jinns said after they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what they told each other, what they were telling to themselves, the surah talks about that. Many different things happen related to the jinns because of the revelation of the Quran that's discussed in the surah. The next two surahs are Surah Muzammil and Muddathir. Both of these surahs mean the wrapped up one or the shrouded one, because Rasulullah, after he received his first revelation, he was very afraid of what just happened. He was shivering and he felt very cold. So he asked Khadija radiallahu anha, Zammiluni, he said, cover me. So she ended up giving him something to cover. So, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Rasulullah in this surah, Ya ayyuhal muddathir and Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O the one who's wrapped up, O the one who's shrouded, because he was wearing that shroud. Both of these were revealed before the obligations of the prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Rasulullah the wrapped one, or the one who's the shrouded, out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. when Rasulullah first received wahi revelation through in Surah Alaq, the first five verses, the revelation completely stopped for many, many months. The next few verses that were revealed were the first five verses of Surah Al-Muddathir. Ya ayyuhal muddathir qum fa'andhir, oh, the one who shrouded, stand up now and start warning the people. Because Rasulullah needed some time between those revelations to gather himself up. Next surah was Surah Dahar, also known as Surah Insan. Dahar means time or era, and Insan means man. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حَيْنٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Did a time not come upon man when he was لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, he was nothing to be mentioned. What that means is there was a time for every single one of us where our names didn't even exist, which would be right before we were born, our names were maybe a year before, whatever it may be, our names didn't even exist in this world. And we became so arrogant that, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I have wealth, I have cars, I have this, so many friends, they all know me, I have so many, like, we have this idea in our head, but right before you were born, your name didn't even exist. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the punishments of Jahannam and the rewards, all the rewards in Jannah. Then it's Surah Mursalat, which means the winds that are sent. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this surah talks about the Day of Judgment. This surah was actually revealed when, as mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, when some of the Sahabas were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside a cave in the area of Mina. While they were in there, this surah was revealed. And throughout this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps referring to different aspects of the Day of Judgment, and He repeatedly admonishes those people who deny the message of the Qur'an. Next surah is Surah Naba, which means the great news. And this surah was revealed according to Abdullah bin Abbas, when the kuffar kept gathering amongst one another, and they would start criticizing the aspects of the Day of Judgment and the aspect of resurrection. So as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. What is it that these people keep talking to each other about and asking to each other about? Is it about the great news referring to the Day of Judgment? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us details about the Day of Judgment, details, especially details about Jannah, Jahannam, rewards, punishments, all of those things. Then after that is Surah Nazi'at. Nazi'at literally means the angels that pull out the soul. Nazi'at means Naz'a, with force, which is referring to how the angels are going to pull out the souls of those people that are evil in this world. So they're going to have a lot of spiritual pain, or actually physical pain, when their souls are being pulled out. People who led a bad life in this world, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, when the angel of death comes to take their soul, they'll realize they had a bad life, so they were going to want to stay in this world to fix themselves. So when the angel of death tries to pull their soul, they're going to try to pull back. And obviously, it's like someone trying to pull your skin off and you're trying to pull it back. It's going to hurt a lot. And those people that are believers and lived a good life, when the angel of death comes, they're going to want to leave. They're going to want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so their souls will come out very easily. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon these angels that the Day of Judgment is going to happen, and we will all be resurrected. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the outcome of those who accept and the outcome of those who deny the Day of Judgment, and specifically Fir'aun is mentioned in this context. Next is Surah Abbas, which means to frown. One of the Sahabis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a blind Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was talking to the leaders of the non-Muslims amongst the Quraysh, and while he was there, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, he didn't know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was having a conversation with these leaders and who they were, so he kept asking him information about certain verses of the Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way became annoyed by it, so what did he do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abasa, he befrowned, watawalla, and he turned away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, he admonishes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him that, look, these people are non-Muslims and that is a Muslim that came to you. He's already on the correct path, and if you teach him, he'll learn more. These non-Muslims, maybe they will turn away from you. They don't even care about anything you're saying, and you're trying so hard. So give more attention to the Muslims and the believers and those people that are not believing in you. The next surah is Surah Takwir, which means the folding. And then after that is Surah Infitar, which means to rip apart. And a few surahs after that is called Surah Inshiqaq, the splitting. All of them refer to what's going to happen to the sun before the Day of Judgment. To the sun and the skies and the earth before the Day of Judgment. Everything is going to start folding up and ripping apart and losing and completely losing its composition before the Day of Judgment. In relation to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's telling us that this is going to happen to the earth, the skies, the sun, and everything is just going to start losing its function, and the sun is going to start losing its light, And when that happens, what's going to happen? The Day of Judgment is going to start. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the scenes of the Day of Judgment in all three of these surahs. Then in Surah Mutaffifin, Mutaffifin means those people who curtail other people's rights. They do not fulfill other people's rights. And then this surah is specifically talking about fulfilling our commercial rights when you're buying and selling. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this surah was actually revealed when in Medina there used to be many sellers who used to cheat the people when it came to selling their products. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes them in this surah and tells them this is not the way to do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers and the disbelievers, and he tells us about Sijjin and Illiyin. Illiyin is the book of deeds for the good people. Sijjin is the book of deeds for the evil people. Then there's Surah Buruj. We didn't read today, but inshallah we'll go through all these surahs as well. Surah Buruj, which means the sky having stellar formation. The stellar formation in the sky, that's what Buruj means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon that eventually the Day of Judgment is going to come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about a group of people called Ashabul Ukhdud, the people of the ditch. We can't go through this story, but generally speaking, all of them were executed for believing in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while all the disbelievers were looking them dying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them and admonishes them. Next is Surah Tariq, which means the night corner. The night corner, the things that are in the night in the corner are the stars. It's talking about these stars, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon the stars that we all have guardian angels, and he reminds us that about our reality and how we were nothing in the beginning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so much. He gave us so much importance, so we should turn to him. The next is Surah A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right in the beginning of the surah, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, recite the praises of Al-A'la, your Lord who is Al-A'la, the most exalted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how because he is the most exalted and he gave us so much, we should remember Allah's blessing upon us, and we should remember that our purpose is the Akhirah and not this world. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah. The next is Surah Ghashiyah, which means the overwhelming event, which is referring to the Day of Judgment. Descriptions of Jannah and Jahannam are also given in this surah as well. The next is Surah Fajr, which means the dawn. Now it could refer to the dawn of any day, it could refer to a specific dawn. Some ulama say it's referring to the dawn of the Laylatul Qadr, the last ten nights in the dawn of Laylatul Qadr. Whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon the dawn and reminds us about the past nations and the coming of the Day of Judgment. So we see throughout the last surahs of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps reminding us of Jannah, Jahannam, Day of Judgment over and over and over again. Next surah is called Surah Balad, which literally means city. It's referring to the city of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the man's stages in life and how we must all work to gain Jannah and stay away from Jahannam. Then is Surah Shams and Layl. Shams means the sun, Layl means the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon them and tells us about our purpose in life is to seek the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, the person who fixes his nafs, who fixes his inner body, fixes his inner desires, that person is successful. And in Surah Layl, he tells us, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ نَشَتَّى فَأَمَا مَنْ عَطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنْيَسْرِهِ الْيُسْرَى, that all of your matters, everything we do in this world, it's all dispersed. We have to work for the Akhirah, make sure all of our deeds are for the Akhirah. Next is Surah Duha. The surah was revealed because there was a pause in revelation. So some of the mushrikeen, especially Umm Jamil, the wife of Abu Jahl, started taunting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, look, you're not receiving any more revelations. Your Lord has left you. He's forsaken you. That's it. You're gone. You're done. Your Lord doesn't care about you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. He swears on wadduha, the light of the day. And wal-layli idha saja, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. No, your Lord has not forsaken you and he has not left you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of his blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next is Surah Inshirah, Surah Sharh, which is talking about the blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how his heart was sharh, opened to the divine realm. After that is Surah Teen, which means the fig. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his blessings upon mankind and how Allah ta'ala created us with so many perfections, and he swears upon the fig and the olive when he's talking about these. Next is Surah Alaq. The first five verses, of course, were the first revelations. Alaq literally means a clot, which means the blood clot that all humans were in the beginning, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so much. This surah also discusses the hostile attitude of Abu Jahl. Next surah is Surah Qadr. This surah it talks about the revelation of the Qur'an and, of course, the night of Laylatul Qadr. We won't get into that. Next is Surah Bayyinah, which means a clear proof. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the Qur'an, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the proof. Next is Surah Zilzal. Zilzal talks about the earthquake or the quakes at the end of times, probably that are going to occur after the second horn is blown. Thereafter, Surah Adiyat, which means running horses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon these running horses and many other things about the ungratefulness of mankind and his love for wealth. Remember, the horses of the past were like the cars of today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing upon these vehicles that we have that, look, you have so much, but you're still so ungrateful and you still love wealth. Next is Surah Qari'ah, which means a striking event. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the day of judgment and the weighing of our deeds. Thereafter, Surah Takathur. Takathur means to amass things, gather up a lot of things. And in this surah, Allah is talking about amassing worldly wealth and how it distracts us from our purpose until death is finally going to come upon us. Then in Surah Asr. Asr means time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All man is in loss except people with four qualities. Those who believe, do good deeds, exhort one another, tell each one another to have patience, and tell each other to follow what is the truth. The last one is very hard, telling each other to follow the truth, especially when we see people doing wrong. Imam Shafi rahimullah has mentioned that Surah Asr is enough for everyone's guidance. Next is Surah Humazah, which means a backbiter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is censuring man and humans for their evil qualities, especially their love for wealth. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. That people count their wealth thinking that their wealth is going to remain forever. That's how people deal with their wealth. Next is Surah Fil, which is a story, it means elephant. It talks about the story of the elephant and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Makkah from Abraha and how that was his blessing. In relation to that is Surah Quraysh, which talks about the blessings upon the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tribe of the Quraysh, and how they should be grateful to Allah. Thereafter, Surah Ma'un. Ma'un means a small and petty thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the qualities of the hypocrites, especially those hypocrites who do not even give small things at time of need. They're hoarding everything and they're going to give nothing. Even the smallest of smallest things, they're cheap with those things also, and they're very, very selfish. Then in Surah Kawthar, this surah was revealed when As bin Wa'il, an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abtar. Abtar means someone who has no male progeny. He has no male children. So then he did this when Rasulullah's son Qasim ended up passing away. So he told Rasulullah, that's it, you don't have any male children, you're done. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah, no, you have so many blessings. إِنَّا عَطَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرَ. One of the greatest blessings, we gave you the fountain of Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. And they have two channels leading to the fountain on the Day of Judgment. Anyway, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's not the one Abtar, you're not the one Abtar. إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ وَالْأَبْتَرَ. Your enemy, he's the one Abtar. And that's how we see it today. As bin Wa'il was telling Rasulullah ﷺ, because you have no male children, that's it, your legacy is ended, no one will remember you. What happened? The exact opposite. Rasulullah's name is the most remembered throughout the entire world. Next is Surah Kafirun. It talks about the disbelievers. It was revealed when the mushrikeen went to Rasulullah ﷺ and they said, let's make a deal. How about you worship our gods for 1 year and we'll worship your gods for 1 year? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, la abudu ma ta'abudun. Tell these disbelievers that I don't worship what you worship, and you don't worship what we worship. Lakum deenukum walideen. Your deen is your deen, my deen is my deen. Separate, done. Next is Surah Nafar, which means the help. This surah was revealed in Hajjatul Wida', the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, less than a year before he passed away. This was the last complete surah that was revealed. Individual ayahs were still revealed after this, but this is the last complete surah that was revealed. And it points out Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. Then in Surah Tabbat, also known as Surah Lahab, this surah censures Abu Lahab and Umm Jameel for their evil acts against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in Surah Ikhlas, it was revealed when the pagans, mushrikeen, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the ancestry of your Lord? Who is your Lord? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is one, he has no partners, he has no equals, and there is no one like him, he does not begotten, and he's not begotten. Next is Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, which means the daybreak, and An-Nas means mankind. There was a Jewish man called Labid bin Asim who cast a spell on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These surahs may have been revealed at that time for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read both of these surahs, because in these surahs, we seek refuge from different things. In Surah Falaq, we see you're seeking refuge from worldly evils. And Surah Nas, we are seeking refuge from shaitan and spiritual evils. It's getting a bit long, but inshallah, it's okay. It's the last khatira. I'm just going to go through just two, three verses, and then we'll end off, inshallah. And then that'll be the end of the khatira. First verse I wanted to go through is two different verses. One of them is in Surah Haqqa, and another one is in Surah Inshiqaq. And right now, we are all struggling in this world, and especially right now, because of the pandemic. We're doing social distancing, we're staying away from relatives, we're figuring out how to do our work with all of these restrictions in place. So we are sacrificing our time, our effort, and our fun to overcome the obstacles we face each and every day. Now, wouldn't it be very, very sad to learn that all of these efforts were in vain? They were useless. On the Day of Judgment, because we're all going to receive our book of deeds. And depending on how we receive them, our reaction will be very, very different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Inshiqaq, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. O mankind, you're working and you're striving and you're working hard to get to your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will فَمُلَاقِي, and you are definitely going to meet Him. That means on the Day of Judgment, He will be there. Now, in relation to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about two different ayahs. One set of ayahs is from Surah Haqqa, the other one is from Surah Inshiqaq. They both talk about how people are going to react when they're receiving their book of deeds. First, let's go through the ones that are in Surah Haqqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. The one who receives his book of deeds in his right hand, what is he going to say? That means he knows he's successful. He's going to say, هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِي. It's as if he'll already know beforehand he's going to get it in his right hand. He's going to say, yes, 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 هَاُ. He bring it. Bring my book. أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِي. And read my book. It's okay. Bring it. I know it. وَأَوَدْ إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ. I knew for sure that I was going to be reckoned on this. I knew about my reckoning for sure. And فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. So what's going to happen is he's going to have a very, very nice time. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. He's going to be in Jannah. And he'll be told, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيًّا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Because of all the good deeds you did in the past, go in Jannah, eat, drink, do whatever you want, you're good to go. And then from Surah Inshiqaq, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, actually we'll get to Surah Inshiqaq later, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the one who receives the book of deeds in his left hand. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِشَاءَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِي فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَ. What does he say? I wish I never was given this book. لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَ. Then he says, وَلَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِيَ. I have no idea what's going to be inside here. لَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِيَ. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةَ. If only death was the end of everything. That when I died in this world, his feeling is so much now, he's saying that when I died in this world, I wish that was it. That was it. I did not even have to see this day. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةَ. On this day, my wealth is not helping me at all. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَةَ. All the power and authority and name, fame, whatever I had in this world, it's not helping me at all. It's completely gone. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَةَ. It's gone. It's destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّ ثُمَّ الْجَحَيْمَ صَلُّ. Take this person, wrap him up in chains, and throw him into Jahannam. Now to the ayahs from Surah Inshiqaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِي فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. The person who receives his deeds in his right hand, now in Surah Haqqa, he said he was so happy about it. He said, yeah, bring my book. What's going to happen after that? He's going to have حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, very, very easy reckoning. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. After that, he's going to run to his family. He's going to go to his family with Allah, Masrura, very happy, telling them, look, I got my deeds in my right hand, and I was good to go. I was fine. So that's how what his feeling is going to be. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. As for the one who received his book of deeds in his left hand, and this ayah is actually mentioned behind his back. The Mufassirun mentioned that the person who receives his deeds behind his in his left hand, his hand, left hand will be forced to be behind his back, and then while his hand is behind his back, that's when he's going to receive his book of deeds. So it's a very humiliating way to receive it. It'll be very obvious to other people where this person is receiving it. So he's going to receive it behind his back and in his left hand. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. Then what is he going to do? يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. He's going to make dua for death. He's going to say, kill me, let me, just, I don't want to see it anymore, let it all in. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Then he's going to go into Jahannam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. In this world, he used to have a very relaxed and nice life. He was very, very happy with his family members and everyone. But now, it's all over. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. He thought he would لَن يَحُورَ, never ever return on this day. And now that's destroyed him. So while we struggle through this pandemic and life in general, we should keep in mind that frightening scene on the Day of Judgment. And imagine that right now, imagine on the Day of Judgment what it's going to be like. It will be extremely, extremely hot. We'll be sweating, we'll be worried, anxiety, we'll be afraid. Jahannam is going to be right in front of you, a huge amount of fire, and you're about to get thrown into it. That's how it's going to be. And now people are slowly, slowly, you see everyone little by little, they're all receiving their books, the angels are bringing their books, and you see the horrible expressions of agony on the faces of those who just received their books in their left hands. and finally you are about to receive yours. On that day, you might remember what I'm saying right now. Whatever struggles we are making in our lives will all flash before our eyes on that day right before we receive our books. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all our books in our right hand and not in our left. The next ayah I wanted to go through is from two different surahs, so they talk about the exact same thing or similar. It's from Surah Ma'arij and Surah Abbas. So there are two surahs. These two surahs specifically, they discuss our relationship with our relatives and our friends on the Day of Judgment. And both of them give it to us in a different way, and both are very, very frightening. First is Surah Abbas, that one of my teachers, Mawlana Ibrahim, he was making a very interesting point, and I'm going to make it too regarding the ayahs in Surah Abbas, that right now, a very, very simple, small disease, I'm saying calling it simple and small because the death rate is very, very, very low. It's not like the plague killing or like E. coli or Ebola that's killing 50% of all people that get it. No, it's very little. So now a simple disease right now has forced us to run away and socially distance ourselves from our parents, from our friends, from our associates, from many, many different people. In some areas, for those who don't know, they have policies that children are not even allowed to visit their sick parents in nursing homes due to exposure and dangers. And as a result, some of those parents are passing away alone. Now, if a simple virus has done this to all of us, then imagine the Day of Judgment when each person could be your enemy and each person could take your deeds away. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Surah Abbas, He says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That Day of Judgment is a day when people are going to be running away from their brother, from their sisters, from their parents, from their mothers, from their fathers, from their children, and from their wives and husbands. Everyone's going to be running away from everyone. If this small disease has put us so much fear in our heart that if someone comes close who may have even a small symptom, imagine on the Day of Judgment how you're going to be feeling. We can handle this, how are we going to handle that? The other surah, which mentions something kind of similar, is in Surah Ma'arij. In Surah Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who will fear the punishment, and they will be willing to trade in anything to save themselves. And I mean anything. Because as they say, desperate times call for desperate measures. And before I explain to you what this surah, what these ayahs say, personally speaking, this is a personal experience when through this pandemic, that this ayah is going to tell us about what we're willing to trade in on the Day of Judgment. But right now, there are plenty of things we think in this world we would never trade them away. We thought we would never trade them away. We thought that, desperate times, whatever, it's not a big deal. But honestly, in this pandemic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us that there are some things that you have that you don't consider them to be valuable at all. But, if Allah can make it in a way where those things become very, very valuable and you do not want to trade it at all. And what examples am I going to give? This might sound like I'm joking, but to be serious, just a few months ago, what happened with the toilet paper thing? In the beginning, when the toilet paper thing happened throughout China and Australia and Europe, everyone was laughing. Every person I met, they said, oh, look, everyone's laughing. Oh, look, what are those people doing? Those videos went around. Oh, what are these people doing? Everyone was laughing, laughing, laughing. Then it hit America. Once it hit America, people were still joking around. Oh, look at all these Americans. They don't have lotas in their houses, so they're just running after this toilet paper. Everyone's running for the toilet paper. Then about a month later, guess what happened? All the Muslim houses too realize they're all running out of toilet paper. So now everyone goes to the markets to buy one and they realize they can't buy anything. What are they forced to do? They're forced to buy paper towel and napkins, and now they're starting to realize the value of toilet paper. And when it finally started to come back, they started thinking whenever they saw it in any of the markets, even if there was a small little bag, they ran for it. And they grabbed it before anyone else could. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in this situation what could happen. Same thing happens with the groceries. Bread, flour, rice, meat, towards the beginning, those things were being wiped. I remember going to Stop and Shop and there were no eggs. Zero. There was not a single egg left. I found some organic or something, but it was completely wiped. When I went to the store to get flour, almost all of it was wiped clean. When I went to go get the bread, almost all, alhamdulillah, there was bread, but most of the main company ones, it was all gone. All the meat is running out so quickly right now in all of the halal meat markets. In the beginning, we were joking about Australia and China and all what's happening to them. Those people are going crazy, going fighting in the groceries. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right here, right now, about the same situation. Alhamdulillah, it's becoming better. But just a month ago, people were getting desperate. People were getting very, very desperate. So now if that's our condition here, where we're dying over toilet paper and rice and bread and milk, when the situation gets bad, imagine on the Day of Judgment, when we see Jahannam telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it wants more humans to consume. يَوْمَ يَقُلْ جَهَنَّمْ تَلَتْ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. They'll say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, I want more humans to consume. And we will be heading for our judgment. How will we be feeling that day? Getting back to the ayah, what will we be willing to trade? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the surah that we will be willing to trade bani wa sahibatihi wa akhi wa fasilatihi allati tu'wi wa man fil ardi jami'an thumma yunji. We will even be willing to trade our own children, our own spouses, our brothers and sisters. We'll be willing to trade man fil ardi jami'an thumma yunji. We'll tell Allah, take man fil ardi, take everyone in this world. I don't care if it's my friend, my employee, my best friend, my child, my mother, my father. Put all of them into Jahannam, just don't put me in there. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks people will be willing to do because of the azab they will be receiving, min azabi yawma idhin, because of the punishment of that day. That's what we'll be willing to trade. So keep in mind, right now we're thinking, why would I ever do that with my child? No, because you haven't been put in that situation yet. We already got put in that situation regarding toilet paper and groceries, and you saw what happened. You saw our feelings. Now imagine when that situation happens on the Day of Judgment, when you realize you're this close to getting into Jahannam, and the only thing that's going to save you is whatever you can offer and your deeds are running out. Then you will give everything away. So once again, let's really reanalyze our lives right now. If this pandemic is hard for us, then how will we survive the Day of Judgment? And the last ayah I want to mention, I'm not going to go into the detail. In Surah Nazi'at, we are given a summary of everything I've said up till now regarding how we should work through this pandemic. There are just a few ayahs, and I just wanted to relate them because they tell us that how we should work through this pandemic, our lives, and literally through our fate as humans that are born in this world to be tested. These ayahs summarize everything and give us the guidance that we need. What are those ayahs? And these are the last ayahs, inshallah, I'll be going through. Allah subhanahu, and we should all pay attention to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, when everyone is standing there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. On that day, every single person is going to remember all of the effort they put in this world. Not for this world, but while they were in this world, all of the effort, every deed, every little thing that they did in this world, يَتَذَكَّرُ, they're going to start remembering all of it. أَبُرِّزَ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. Jahannam will be shown to those people who will want to see it. It will be right in front of them. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Who is going to land in Jahannam? That person who turned away from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tagha means Allah told you do this, you didn't listen. He said don't do this, but you did it anyway. So whoever did that and did not listen to Allah, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and conducted his life in a way where he gave preference to this world, he will land in Jahannam. And who will land in Jannah? مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. A person who feared standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. He feared the Akhirah and he tried his best to stop himself from following his bad desires, from us following our nafs and our lower desires. So whoever feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day and he tried his best in this world to stay away from committing evil deeds and sins and controlling our desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. That person will end up in Jannah. And the last thing I wanted to mention today was that we started off from Surah Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He is the Lord. He told us to follow His straight path. In the middle, Shaitan told, in one of the Surah A'raf, Shaitan said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّكَ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتِقِيمِ. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to sit on your straight path. That path of Surat al-Mustaqim, I will be sitting there, throwing these people out of there. So in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Fatiha, the beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that you need to go on Sirat al-Mustaqim and stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim. In the middle of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan is sitting there. And in the last surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Shaitan is your obstacle, so seek refuge from Shaitan and his whispers because he's going to throw you off the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to gain Jannatul Firdaus, to get the Book of Deeds in our right hand, and have gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on the Day of Judgment, and act upon whatever has been said. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.